Hello, hello. Welcome back to another week, the Diva with Grace podcast. I am Diva by name, not by reputation.
And I'm Grace. It's a popular him and I'm a popular her.
And how are we doing today, Miss Grace?
We're doing well. We're very excited about today. We, as in me and my other Gemini twin and Diva, are very excited about this week's guest.
She's amazing. Vanessa Baltadano in the building. So happy to have you here.
Yes.
She's going to be dropping bars.
Oh my God, Sun, Moon, Rising, drop it.
So we're so happy to have you here, Vanessa. Thank you so much for coming in.
I'm so happy to be here.
So just so you guys know, Vanessa is a certified crystal healing therapist, tarot reader, dream interpreter, founder of Come Full Circle and the Dreamers Council, which we will definitely be getting into in a little bit. She has a deep passion and dedication to her healing practice, which stems from her passion and dedication to her own self-healing, self-development, and love for the planet. I mean, could you be more perfect over here? God.
How concise and balanced.
Well thought out.
Speaking of balanced. A Gemini moon. She's a Gemini moon, you guys.
Yes. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
So let's just get into it. You have such an amazing story that I just, you have to just share like your journey and how you got into the metaphysical and crystal healing and tarot. Let the people know.
Tell us everything.
I'm going to try to be really concise.
No, don't. We have, we're here to talk.
We're here for you. Yeah.
I feel, I guess at this point in my life that I've always been like a magical person, but haven't really tapped into it or embraced it until I went through some really tough stuff. I would say like my Saturn return time, where I was really kind of forced to kind of look at myself and my own reflection.
Can we talk a little bit about the Saturn return? I don't know if we've really gotten into that on the show. Do we have like a 60-second pitch of like what a Saturn return is for people who might not know?
My understanding is that that's the time when a lot of things like planetary kind of energies kind of combine and force, or like maybe kind of like the tower, if you thought of like the tower card a little bit.
Yes, in the tarot.
It's about like shedding the things that are not really working for us. It's the time to reflect. Certain things start either falling apart or
it's like a quarter life crisis.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't it Saturn returns? It takes 30 years for Saturn to return to its origin almost.
So then, I'm not sure when it happens.
Yeah. So by the time you're in your midlife, you have another Saturn return, and that's when your dad buys a red convertible.
Well, yeah, because I was told it's more, because No Doubt, one of their albums is called The Return of Saturn, and it's one of my favorite albums, but we don't have to get too deep into it. But Gwen Stefani was 30. That's why she named the album Return of Saturn, because she was 30.
This is the pink hair album.
Yes. And so it's just reflective. She was very reflective and very open in that album about just her life, where she is. And so when I turned 30, just being 30 and like listening to that album again, I'm like, oh, I get, because I was 15 when it came out, so I wasn't really grasping, you know, the themes that she had. But anyway, so
Saturn return is when you got, because that's when a lot of people start getting into their more spiritual side.
And just to kind of go back, like growing up, my magical side was being a very lucid, vivid dreamer. So I had, now I've realized that I've had encounters with spirits in my dreams. I've had prophetic dreams. But really growing up, it wasn't something of conversation. It was in my household. It wasn't really something that you kind of went to mom to or anybody else to kind of discuss. It was kind of something like we knew existed within our, like our lineage, but no one really knew like, oh, okay, if you have this dream, this is what we're doing. This is how we actually nurture it or explore it.
It was like this unspoken talent, like family talent.
No one talked about it. It was very topsy. And my grandmother was actually known to have prophetic dreams. And so it was, for at least the other part of the family, like, you know, my cousins and I, we were really young. So it was kind of like, oh, did you hear what my grandma's dream was? Or you kind of hear the adults talking about it. So it was always something like that. But for me, my experience growing up was really scary, actually. It was really tormenting. I actually wrote an article about this where I actually opened up about my experiences, where I actually wet the bed until I was like 8 years old because I was living in a house that was haunted. And I mean, this is stuff I'm coming to realize now, like, oh my God, I'm connecting the dots because I'm doing the work now. Yeah. I'm looking at all that stuff. So just to kind of scratching the surface on those experiences, but really, I went through some substance abuse stuff, but at the same time, I was also like very much about like moving into leadership roles and in career. And so when I was working at my last corporate job at that time, before I got that job, my father died when I was 25. And that was actually a relationship that was pretty tough. It was not like the easiest relationship. And so losing him a week before losing him, him and I were planning to actually meet for lunch a week later. And that was the time where I was like, oh, I'm going to confront my dad about the whole thing. Like, what's been going on? Like, all our lives? Like, what? And so he slipped away when I didn't really have a chance to kind of go through and talk about that. So it was really, really, I took it harder than I actually expected, than anyone else in my family thought. No one else really took it as hard as I did. Mm-hmm. So going through that, then it was like my coping mechanism was really about substance and alcohol and things like that, but still like still trying to live my life and have a job and still carry those things around. And I got into a really bad car accident. I had three car accidents in a row, and the last car accident was pretty, it was, I don't even think I should be here after that car accident. I hydroplaned and was taken to the hospital, and I don't know. It was just, but I was able to still keep my job. That job was my last corporate job, and I was able to move into a supervisor position. I was like a federal contracted a business company. And so when I was there, and I worked there for 6 years, through there, when I was there, my mom passed away. She was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And it was two and a half years of really rough stuff. And after her passing, that's when I think things really started to, there was a catapult experience that was happening with my dreams. Now, even after my dad passed, I had vivid dreams with him. He came to visit. He actually prepared me for my mom's passing, things that were happening in waking life.
Wow.
I love that.
It's like,
oh my God, can you expand on that a little? I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm
it's okay.
I'm like, please expand.
There was a dream that I had with him where I was taken on this bus. It was like I was on this bus with all these different, these other people. It's almost as though they were other like living people, like their spirits, just like my spirit was on this bus. And we were taken to this large building. It felt like a big community of some kind, and I didn't really understand what it was. And so we walked in. We were taken somewhere. I was actually escorted somewhere. And there was these two beings that were standing side by side with my dad standing in the middle. And my dad was wearing like all white, but it was like, actually, I remember he was wearing something white that reminded me of something he wore when he like got out of jail once. And when he was living, I don't know, it was really interesting. But, and so the guides that were with him let him step forward and spend time with me. So we actually did a little tour of like where he was staying, and there were just remember lights and Ferris wheels. And it was like, we were spending time together. This stuff is like, wow, like really deep for me. So I'm sorry, guys.
No, this is amazing.
This
take your time.
Life.
So I was able to like, I just remember seeing us walking into like a sunset together. I was like holding his arm, but it was a start of a new relationship with him, actually, where he started then coming in more often and either showing me or introducing me to other spirit guides from different realms, and also just kind of showing me that preparing me for my mom's passing in a way. So he showed me how he was trying to get a hold of her on a phone and her turning over. I don't know. It's this whole thing is really, it's another deep, deep thing, but that was where it like kind of started, where I couldn't really ignore what was happening. So I would start just taking notice of like, okay, what are my dream experiences? These are things that I can't really ignore now because I knew it was real. Now there was something that's like, there's someone I know from waking life is visiting me in these dreams. So now I'm paying attention, in other words. But it wasn't really until after my mom passed that other guides were really making themselves present. And my mom came through also. She would come through and just say thanks for taking care of me while she was sick, and just other coaching things. But really, the catalyst of the whole experience did happen in a dream where I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to, I can't ignore this. Really, I need to do something with what I'm learning. Like, where do I go? I need to learn from someone else to help me because right. no one in my family is yeah. showing me that. So I need to be a seeker now. I need to stand and be a seeker. So this experience was something that happened in the Santa Monica Mountains. It was about a year after my mom passed. Me and my boyfriend were celebrating, I think it was our 6th anniversary. And we were like, well, let's get away. We like to do Airbnb or VRBO. And we're like, okay, let's go somewhere where we can be near nature and we could do a hike nearby. And so we were picking between two different houses. And so he's like, well, which one do you want? And so I ended up picking a house in the Santa Monica Mountains. And we go. And when we get there, the owner just seems a little off, like he's not really engaging. You know, we were really, because we read reviews about the place and about how great the owners were and yeah. so polite. But our encounter with the owner was not the same. He was very, like, didn't really make eye contact, made the tour real short. And he's like, well, we're staying at the house, like, down the hill if you guys need anything. But as we were making the tour of the house, it just was odd. It felt like, I don't know if you guys are sensitive to energies in the room, yeah. energies to sure. other people. Yeah. So you can kind of feel like there was either something watching us or something just not welcoming. It's almost like the frequency of me was different than the frequency that could be in alignment with what right. was in the space. Mm. And so we kind of tried to ignore it. We planned to do a barbecue. We were going to go on a hike the next morning. There was a hot tub, this whole thing. So the owner leaves us alone. We kind of unpack things. My boyfriend's kind of like taking a tour around the house and continuously like looking around the house. And I was like, what is up with him? Like, he's not even talking to me about it because now I know it was like he didn't want to scare me what yeah. he was feeling. So he was just kind of looking around. And
is he also an intuitive?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe very, like a not so self-proclaimed intuitive.
Exactly.
But yeah. Yes. But we all have that within us. Yeah. We can just channel
everybody.
It.
Yeah. If you feel like you don't have it, there's ways to strengthen it.
Right. It's like a muscle.
Gut feeling, intuition.
Yes.
Everyone can relate to that.
Yes.
But continue.
Okay. So he's walking around the house.
He's walking around the house. So I'm just like, okay, like, let's show. I'm all thinking in my head. I'm like, ooh, he's probably going to propose or something. I don't know. I'm just like,
he's looking for the perfect place.
That would be me. Like, oh God, he's proposing.
And I don't have he better do this right. I better like this ring.
Yeah.
So he's taking his time around. So we, that evening that we got there, we had plans to go have dinner at a nearby restaurant. And I don't know, we go, but we're still feeling that same feeling, just uncomfortable. But we end up leaving. And we started to notice that the further we got away from the house, the better we started feeling. Like, that feeling was not as intense. And we didn't really talk about it to one another. So we're just going, but I'm just noticing, like, what is that about? That's so strange. So we have dinner. We head back. We get some beers at a nearby grocery store. We go to the place, back to the place. It's nighttime. It's really windy. We go inside and I go upstairs without him and he stays downstairs and he's like snooping around like this locked door. I know he's still doing the snooping. Yes.
Oh my God. And you didn't ask him what he was doing?
I
would be like, what are you doing?
Oh, maybe he's going to propose.
Right. Oh, right. I forgot. He's still proposing. Okay. Sure. Okay.
Still being proposed to. Got it.
And so, I'm upstairs. He comes upstairs. I was like, what's going on? And I just wanted to see something that was in that room. And, you know, it's locked. And so he couldn't really check what was going on. So we're hanging out upstairs. He's like, do you want me to turn on the fireplace? I was like, oh, it's really down, right? It's right. Really going to happen.
Now it's happening.
Fireplace.
Yeah, we have a fireplace in here. We're not going to propose.
You guys are really setting the scene. And so the place we're staying is two stories. And the living room is up. There's a second living room downstairs, but there's a real, like, a living room that you spend upstairs. And there's a kitchen space, like, right diagonal behind it. There's a balcony in front of the living room. Fireplace is, like, in the center. And then on the other side is the bedrooms and the bathroom, the other side of the kitchen. And so there's a futon in the living room, and we kind of like lay it out so we can watch TV, hang out, drink some beers. And the fire's crackling. It's all good. We get cozy. We don't really want to drink because we're not feeling good. Like, we can't relax. Mm-hmm. Even the beer was just not helping.
Even trying to set the mood, nothing's working.
No.
Even your maybe proposal. You're still not
I'm
feeling
like, man, this is messing the shit up. So we lay down, and I am spooning him. So I'm, like, behind him, and the kitchen's behind me. And all of a sudden, something goes,
nope.
He was like, I'm not here for this. Like,
this is like a campfire story. I'm terrified.
I mean, it is a campfire story.
Yeah, okay. So you hear the sound.
And oh, so Lord. I was like, you know, my ears perk up. I'm just like, what was that? And so my boyfriend's like, I hear it downstairs. Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, it's the fireplace. Because he's really trying.
And you're like, have you seen any scary movies? Yeah. It's not the fireplace.
So I was like, okay. Because obviously he's not admitting anything. Right. And, you know, deep down I'm like, that was not. Mm-hmm. But we're not having the conversation. So we're going to just move on. And so we end up falling asleep. And when I fall asleep, I have one of the most vivid lucid dreams. Mm-hmm. I wake, I'm in the dream exactly where we are in the living room. Exactly. I could see the space exactly the way it is. And behind me is these two beings, these spirits that I can only describe are made of the clearest water. Like, they're wavy. Mm-hmm. And they're in a, like, kind of like a human figure, but not white, not quite. And they're moving towards us. And so in the dream, I hop on top of my boyfriend to protect him. And I all of a sudden start doing, like, I don't even know what I'm doing with my hands. I'm saying some kind of words I can't even remember now as a way of protecting. And wow. After that, like, woke up and I was like, oh, I could feel them right there. I could feel them right there. And I woke my boyfriend up and I was like, okay, I just had the dream and I am not feeling good. Yeah. So I'm. And he's like, okay, it's all right. Everything's fine. Like, do you
No,
wanna...
it's not fine.
And we spent... But see, for me, you have to understand, like, these types of dreams are not it's just like, okay, I'm not quite sure what to do with it. And it's typically something that I explore on my own. So I've experienced scary things all growing up. But this was like, oh, no, there's something else. And he was like, I guess over time, he's like, well, let's switch. Like, let's move. So mm-hmm. I wasn't spooning him anymore. It was like we were trying to just make it work. And then I was like, you know, I can't go to sleep. He's like, do you want to just move to the bedroom? I was like, I guess, sure. Yeah. So we end up going to sleep. Lights out.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. We had to turn off the lights and the fire. No. So we go to bed and we go to sleep. We sleep all night, but I have more dreams. And in these dreams, you have to keep in mind. So at this point, my father, my mom, and, well, yeah, my grandmother had just passed. Like, all three of them have passed because my grandma passed a year after my mom did.
Oh, wow.
So in this dream, I'm seeing all of them in my dreams, but now they come to me looking ill, not looking healthy, very, very sad images. And in my experience with their visits, I know exactly how they feel, if it's truly them. Mm-hmm. And in these dreams, I knew, I was like, oh, these aren't them.
Wow.
I knew it was the spirits that were in this house were embodying them to make me feel scared, sad, and to hurt me in a certain way where it hurts the most.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Grace is like,
I'm like paralyzed.
This is like some ghost whisperer type of.
All I'm thinking right now is like,
Whoopi Goldberg.
Like, do these spirits need therapy? Like, girl, how do we help them?
Yeah. You in danger.
You in danger, girl. Yeah, that's all that's missing from this story is Whoopi Goldberg coming out of the closet.
I'm telling myself, girl, you in danger.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, I'm laughing about it now. But
I know, it's probably terrifying. Like,
yeah. Yeah, so I wake up and I'm just feeling the saddest, just feeling so sad. I tell my boyfriend about it and he's like, well, do you want to leave? And I'm thinking, like, this isn't the worst I've experienced. I mean, it was up to that point, but it wasn't unfamiliar. And so I was like, well, we just spent all this money on this place. You're not going to get the money back. It's like it's daytime. It's a little different. Maybe let's just barbecue. And then maybe we could leave after the barbecue.
I love that you're a trooper. Like, we're going to make this work.
I was really trying.
You were
positive.
Still trying to be like, it was just a dream.
Yeah. Well, so we're kind of doing breakfast. Yeah, there's more to the story. I'm not done. So we're kind of doing breakfast and he's making, I don't know, we're eating out on the balcony, but still it's like someone's watching still the entire time. And we had planned to go hiking because there was a hiking trail nearby. So we were still like, okay, well, let's go do that. And then we'll come back and like do all the barbecue, do the hot tub and stuff like that. Okay, fine. Well, I didn't know this till after, but while my boyfriend was getting ready in the bathroom, it was like a wooden frame with the mirror in the bathroom, and he heard like a knock, like knocking right as he was getting ready. You could tell with the scent, like with how you can hear where it's coming, like what direction it's coming from, you know. So he doesn't tell me about that, but we like, okay, well, let's go, like, get ready. Let's go on a hike. So we go to the hiking area. And as we're walking on the hike. Okay. So if you've ever heard of voices.
Okay.
Or if people talk about like hearing voices, it's not like, I mean, sometimes it can't, at least in my experience, it can be like you can hear how their voice sounds, but most times it's your own voice.
Right.
But you know,
it's not your,
you.
Like, not your thought, not your, right.
And so I was hearing, like, you got to go. You're not welcome here.
Oh my God.
So it was following us on the hike. Like, it could go that far to, like, follow. And so we went just, and I was like, you know what, babe, we have to go. I am getting the feeling like this is just not going away. I mean, if it's coming with us here, I don't know what. So that, of course, that was
store. Yeah.
So we headed back. We packed our shit.
Yeah.
And we left.
Good for you.
And
they said no, you guys.
I mean, but still on the drive back, it was like, and I live in the Eagle Rock area. So we're heading back over east, and it wasn't until I saw the Burbank Mountains that I actually started getting tears in my eyes. It was this feeling of like feeling safe that I had. It's almost as though like the spirit could not follow any further. It had reached a barrier where it was like it couldn't go any further. And I had this sense of like, oh my God, I'm home, my land, my ancestors, like something of, you know, the space was actually coming in to help me leave that. But when we got home, it was something like, I don't know, I'm really fearful that we're carrying something. Mm-hmm. Like those thoughts were kind of entering my mind. What do I do to protect myself? Mm. Well, the next night, I had a dream with my mom. I had a dream with the spirit, but it was like the guides were showing me an embodiment of the spirit, and it was showing that it was following me and my boyfriend. And I was in this house, and my boyfriend went outside to take care of the car that was parked outside. You could see a rainstorm coming over the hill. And with the rainstorm came this dark spirit. It was all in black. And I could see it coming, and so I hid in the house against the wall, by a window, and the spirit was like trying to look through the window to see if it can find me. And so from upstairs, the second floor of this house, comes down my mom and my grandmother. And they come down and say, it's okay, mija. You know what you need? You need to get that amethyst stone. It's a ring that you gifted me. Your sister has it. It'll be a protector for you.
Wow.
And oh, wow. The next That's day, I told crazy. My sister about it. My sister said, I've been thinking about giving you this ring. I still have it. There's some stuff in my mom, like, if you want it. And so I still have that ring. But that was the first lesson I heard about, learned about crystals, was through my mom.
So you knew nothing prior to this about crystals?
Zero.
Wow.
Zero.
Oh my
and
God.
And amethyst.
I'm having a moment. Right.
The amethyst
from
stone.
From corporate
is
to crystal. Yeah,
and amethyst stone, if you guys know, and listeners, if you guys are knowing, you probably know it's a psychic protection stone. And
crown chakra.
Well, and it's the third eye.
Third eye, too. Yeah, third eye.
Yes. And so that was the first schooling I had with crystals. And that experience pushed me to go to a crystal store, learn about how to protect my home with crystals, protect myself. So the first stones I brought into the house were an obsidian that I put under my bed, some black tourmalines that I can carry with me, and some selenite wands that I can sprinkle on the corners of my house. So that experience right there was the catalyst to...
That's an amazing experience.
Wow. To my spiritual path. It was... Wow.
That's a hell of a journey. Like, that's just amazing.
So have the spirits made contact with you since you started carrying the stones and protecting yourself?
No. After that encounter, it was like all of that stuff started dissipating. I actually started feeling safe, like a protective shield was around me. And I got to get witchy with it.
Yes, get witchy with it. I love
you
that.
Know, putting like sea salt.
Oh my God, is that the name of this episode? Getting witchy with it.
And to be honest, I don't like label myself to be like a witch. I also don't see it as something that's bad to
it's
call
pejorative,
either.
Right?
But you know, yeah, that's a witchy practice to get into like some earth magic. I love earth magic. I connect with that a lot. But that was the first time that I was like, oh, the things that my family would talk about, like under wraps, because we grew up Catholic. And so my mom would get like tarot readings with my sister, and then I would always be like, oh my God, brujeria, like, because there's such a bad
connotation
to that, or the word bruja or brujería in Latin America is not, in my experience, been so welcoming. So for me to do that and then get the blessing for my mom in my dream, number was like, oh, I got the green light. There's something that I can go and further explore.
Well, I love that you mentioned Catholicism because I'm Catholic, and I've mentioned a few times on the podcast, but to me, it's almost a slippery slope. There's so much connection between, you know, we carry like angel cards of Saint Michael, Saint this person. I'm like, then there's tarot cards. I'm like, it's almost like not the same, but I'm like, there's so many similarities. So it's weird to me that, especially in Catholicism, that there'd be such like,
what do you attribute that to in your experience?
Because usually we're the ones, as far as Christianity, other Christians look at us like we're like those Catholics with their this and their that and their. So.
That's a really good question. And I've thought about this like as I've explored it more, because really spirituality, it's like I grew up Catholic where it was like shoved down my throat.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, I moved away from that for a long time. And then it found me again, like after my dad passed. I went and did my first communion as an adult, actually.
Oh, wow.
So I did my first communion, my confirmation. My boyfriend did it with me. It was like this
whole
thing.
I was older too.
And I was like, well, there's something spiritual here that I connect with. And I even knew when I started that, I was like, well, I don't agree with everything.
Of course not. Yeah.
But there are things that I know that I'm communicating to spirit by doing this.
Right.
So I did that. But then like now, I mean, I don't go to church anymore, but it doesn't mean I won't walk into one or right. anything like that. There are things that are like, okay, I do understand, I do connect with. And like you were talking about saints, it's like those people were actually living people.
Yeah.
Just like in the tarot, it's like these are embodiments of ourself yeah. and of others.
Different parts
and the
of
process, right?
And
so those are similar.
Well, like a cult or something, because people just freak out like, oh my God.
Yes.
Like,
well,
worshiping
I did too.
Satan
well,
in
that's
this.
The thing.
And I'm like,
well,
like,
so how did you get
did
more
too.
Comfortable? Do you feel like your family coming to you in your dream and giving you their blessing was the biggest part of becoming more comfortable with all of it?
I think it was more of my healing process yeah. because it was like I had to heal my own thoughts about it. Like right. I had a dream. Mm-hmm. I had a dream.
Yes.
Where my guides actually showed me how to... I was introduced to a specific guide in the desert, and so he showed me how to catch a jackrabbit in the middle of the desert, like this whole thing. And he's like, you're going to sit on this hole on this side, and what you'll notice is that the jackrabbit will appear on the other side. It was this whole very... I still am not fully comprehending the message of that. But I caught the jackrabbit, and he takes me into this room, and he... tells me to let go of the jackrabbit in the room, and he says, okay, you're gonna have to do something that's really tough. You're gonna have to kill this jackrabbit. And I was like, what? Why? Why do I have to kill this?
Catch and release.
You're like, all of a sudden I'm vegan.
And so he's like, yeah, it's something that you're gonna be really scared of doing, but you're probably not going to want to do it. And it was almost like, oh, you're testing me, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, as an Aries, I'm like, oh, okay, don't tell me I can't
do
something.
Don't tell me what to do.
Okay.
Oh, man, you Aries.
The worst
feeling. And so,
you Aries
and so in the dream, I went into the pupil of the jackrabbit, which is also something that is connected to why I named my practice Come Full Circle. It was inspired by this specific dream. And so I went into the jackrabbit's eye pupil. And I didn't kill the jackrabbit in the dream, but he says, okay, this is just an example of what you're going to have to experience. You're going to encounter or have to move forward in a direction that you are really afraid of, but it's something you have to do. And he gave me a specific date. He's like, on April 6th. And I was like, oh, my birthday's the day before. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't care about your birthday. He said, I mean, spirit guides are hilarious, guys. Yeah, they are so funny. He's like, I don't care about your birthday. It's the day after that matters. And so he walked out of the room, and behind all with him were these little cats, all these little kittens, which, by the way, cats are a big theme in my dreams. And so he went on to this path, and he was walking on side of a hill that was a hill by the sand, by the beach. And so all of a sudden it turns nighttime, and on the beach are all of these people dressed in black with big red circles on their chest. And they're holding hands and dancing in circles around the bonfire. And that's what inspired my Come Full Circle name. And so that's actually developed into becoming something more. But anyway, the point was I got the message and I went and said, oh, I have to... Like, I connected the dots where it was like, oh, I have to go to an apothecary store. I actually have to have conversations with people that practice witchery or, like, brujeria stuff. And I just, it was something that was in me that I can't explain in other ways, that it was like, I have to do that. There's something, there's a calling that's inside of me that I need to go do. And so I faced a lot of my fears. That's really what it was. It was, yes, of course, my family coming through my dreams and kind of giving me more affirmations. And then my guides like pushing me like, no, you have to go and do and face those things that you inside are also afraid of, because you grew up being afraid of those things. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I went, was because there was something in me that I could not ignore. It was like I couldn't sit still because I knew I had to go and answer this call.
Is that the same feeling you had about being a seeker and then transitioning to being a teacher yourself, a healer yourself? It was kind of like the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
so
you just felt ready to share this.
Yeah, so it was first like, well, let me go and explore what these dreams mean to me. It was not like, oh, I'm going to go and heal people. Like, it was like, oh, as I discovered and learned, took
and
classes.
And like healing other people by healing yourself.
It's always, the best healer is going to be somebody that's doing it themselves.
Right.
Exactly.
Always. It's really, I don't even know if you'll know a healer that hasn't done it themselves first. And that's where the power is, because you've done it yourself. What is my lessons? It's like your community. Your community could be your family, right? So your mom's like, well, this is what I learned and this is what I'm going to teach. It's the same thing. It's like you're teaching your community in a way that's saying, this is what I've learned. I don't want you to make the same mistakes. Mistakes might be the best way for you to learn, but right. I can at least show you how it worked for me. These are the best ways.
And how you can recover and how you can get the most out of it.
Yes. But I wanted to go back to what you had mentioned about, like, what do we attribute to, like, why are we so scared? Like the Catholicism stuff. At least in Latin America, my experience is like there's so much eclecticism in our bloodlines that there are those that there's so many different cultures within. Like my parents were from Nicaragua, so that's where like, but in my blood, because I did ancestry.com. I'm 50% Native American. I have 15% British, 14% Iberian Peninsula, so Spanish. And then I have 12% of different parts of Africa.
I mean,
and then
everyone's like, African. So.
Right, okay.
just so you guys know.
And so that, I feel like there's so much in our blood that I think is conflicting with also like how we practice our religion that I think contributes. Like there's so many conversations that are not happening amongst ourselves, but are happening in these little groups. And like, you know what I mean? So I feel like it has to do with not having a safe space to talk and be open about it. Because we're being forced, we've been forced to, you know, take in a specific
I'm African, so there wasn't Catholicism in Africa. You know, there were other practices happening, and then the Europeans colonized, you know, so there's things like that. So, but I have family who, I don't know them personally, but I've heard just, you know, through conversations, who practice voodoo. And that's black magic. But so I always heard voodoo bad, her magic witches bad.
Yes.
But then my dad was pretty open-minded with everything, and he talked about, but there's light magic, and there's people who do healing and light work, and I'm like, oh, there's, because there's yin and yang, so if there's dark magic, there has to be light magic.
Well, yes, and in order for there to be light, there needs to be dark.
It's,
there
has
to
be,
it's a balance thing, right? Like we were talking about the number eight before I think we started recording.
Yeah.
But it's like about that balance, and that's the other thing that I tell my clients too, or at least when I approach something, it's to look at things in balance. I guess that's the goal, although sometimes we teeter-totter because life, you know, hits us in different directions, but it's always about kind of coming back and being centered. Yeah. Hopefully before we
mentioning your clients, let's just delve a little bit into the work that you do as a dream interpreter. And forgive me, what does a dream interpreter actually do? So why would someone come to you as opposed to just, you know, having brunch with your girlfriends and just, oh my God, I had this dream last night and this happened. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, but, you know, so could you explain that for people who just don't know the concept or
how
that works?
For me, at my dream interpretation stuff, and I actually refer to it as dream decoding. So it's a collaborative effort, actually, is what I offer.
Yes.
So what's different about me and maybe your girlfriend is that, maybe, I don't know, but it could be that I've actually been experiencing this for all of my life.
Right.
So I have, and have put it into practice in the last 5, 6, 7 years where I'm actually doing the work. Mm-hmm. I'm not just like, oh, I had a dream and then moving on and not actually, you know what I mean? So I've done the work myself. And so when you would come in to do a dream decoding, I'm not saying this is the answer. Mm-hmm. I'm actually there to collaborate with you and actually maybe help you discover what that message is. Because I am not the person to tell you. No one ever has the authority
like a dream
over your
therapist.
Dream. Yeah. Yes.
Can I just say that I love that you said that, because I'm a firm believer that all the answers that we're seeking is within ourselves, but it's nice to have someone to guide you on this journey, like a healer or, you know, gurus, mentors, your guides.
Right.
So I just love that you said it's a collaborative effort.
Thanks.
It is. You have the answers, you just don't know how to get there sometimes.
Yes.
And we need people to help unlock it. So just thank you for saying that.
And so I also use my intuition, because as you're sharing your dream with me, I may be receiving some messages at the same time that maybe you haven't considered, that maybe my guides are giving me. And my guides include my highest self too, right? So I'm kind of looking and listening, taking note. And so I'm getting a download as well as I'm receiving that.
Now, does the other person's guide come into play? So if we're having a session, you said your guides are are tuning into you.
Yes.
Do you tune into my guides at the same time?
Well, I would encourage you to tune into yours in a way where the session actually starts with a meditation, where we first ground and then we bring energy from above. So from the river of stars, as I like to refer to it.
I love that. And
which I've learned from some of my teachers. Mm-hmm. And then bringing up the energy between ourselves and connecting the energy so that we're both actually connected in the practice. You're not kind of just like walking in, like
showing up
all kinds of things going on in your head. We need to ground first and connect.
That. Oh,
and that in that way, you're able to connect with your higher self. Like, I don't connect with your highest self. That's your realm.
That's your job.
That's your area.
Do your part.
I'm not trying to like invade and be invasive. That's not my job. My job is to stand where I am and you to stand in your full power as well. And as we work on that together, then I could say, look, this is what, if this was my dream, this is what I would consider it to be. And that could resonate with you, yes or no. But the other thing too, which is really powerful, is that if what I say does not resonate, that is just as powerful as finding the things that do.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just, it is. That's
You're amazing.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, I love that. And I know, Grace, you can drop in at any time. Just like, I'm trying to take this all in.
I'm taking it all in. And I'm also trying to think of, I'm like, oh my God, what did I dream about?
What did I dream about last night? I know, because that's something else.
I've had some weird dreams lately. Yeah.
I don't know a dream that's not weird.
There's some dreams. Is there meaning in every dream? Because sometimes I'll just have a dream where, like, let's just say I had a regular day in the dream. Like, nothing significant, quote unquote, happened. Nothing, like, altering where I woke up like, oh my God, that was weird. Like, something to think about. Is that just normal then? Do you just dream?
In my experience, in my dreamscapes, Everything is
a thing
is significant
that you can go with.
Yeah,
now,
I feel
how
like dreams
significant?
Are just full of symbolism for you to like take information from.
Yes. Yeah. And in my experience, it's not just you in this lifetime's vocabulary or alphabet of type of images. It could be your lineage. And so you're kind of learning like, this is something maybe I haven't learned now, but it's something that means something to my ancestors.
Little
that's
messages
coming
that
through.
They're kind of.
Yes.
Sometimes, I've had dreams about my grandmother and I'll tell my mom, like, I don't know what this means, but grandma said this. And I'll walk away. But my grandmother passed away, I remember they were laying down her casket. And I went to say bye, and I was like, please don't haunt me. That was like the last thing I said to her. I was like, I love you. Please don't haunt me. Please don't haunt me.
And then, of course, she came back and was like, hey,
girl.
She comes
back later, but years later, because I've been haunted. I say it like, use the term loosely. Once I was in my apartment, and this is like the lamest haunting story, but it's okay. So I was laying down, and I just heard someone go, hi. And I'm just like, He's like, hi, my name is Steven. And I said,
Steven?
Yeah. And I said, nope. And I took the covers and put it over my head.
Oh my God.
So I'm like, I would be the worst ghost whisperer because I'm always like, I'm sleeping. Like, why couldn't you hit me up earlier? You know what I mean?
I got work
in the morning, Steven.
I love how he said, I'm Steven. And you're like, no, it's not.
No, I was like, no.
Actually, it's nothing.
I have work in the morning.
Okay, that's a good question. Can you ignore spirits or are there some
apparently
spirits?
Apparently you can.
Are there some spirits who are like, you're not going to ignore me, like your experience in the Santa Monica Hills? Like, because sometimes I'm scared that I'm going to jinx myself right now. But sometimes I'm like, do I just have this? Because sometimes when I feel something, I kind of just try to energetically communicate, like, do not fuck with me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you don't want to mess with me. Like, I am a Gemini sun. You get like, don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now I feel protected. Like, you know, and I guess I surround myself with crystals and ice age like twice a day. Are there some like what do you attribute that to? Like how do you like obviously you protect yourself with crystals and you sage probably. What else do you do to like protect yourself?
Protect your energy.
So I would say that what you're drawing in is all based on you and what you're opening yourself to, really.
Right.
My experience in the Santa Monica Mountains and my whole life, I think, has been attributed to what I'm supposed to do in this life, right? So that's just a little different.
Right.
But in my practices and learning from my teachers, the most important thing is to start your day. And how I start my day is with a meditation that is grounding and starting with place, so really centering with all the directions. including up and down, and then creating a filter for yourself of protection. So allowing good energy to come in and the energy that is not at the highest vibration to stay out. And then on top of that, creating another layer of protection that will. So, yeah. Yes. So I am creating a protection that I'm reinforcing either daily or every other day or sometimes every 3 days to keep that there. So there are ways to do that. I think a lot of people don't really know it, but it's something that is a really great tool for me. And I have had spirits come where I can feel them in the room, and I could tell, like, I'll wake up mid. I just had a recent experience. I'm not going to go too much detail with that, but where I could feel him in the room, and I wasn't sure that I was ready to hear what he had to say. So I remember waking up like midway and doing like this whole thing. I'm telling you with my body of like, no, I am not.
I rebuke thee.
I'm not ready. If you're not with good intention, I don't welcome it. And you can totally do that.
You
and
can't sit with us.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Just like I'm using air quotes, you can't see in real life, because this is all happening in real life, you know, with spirits. Just like when there's someone's vibes that you're not into, no, bye. Like, I'm not into it. Mm-hmm. So that's great. And then you mentioned a little bit earlier, and again, I just love your approach about the collaborative effort. Are there like universalities when it comes to symbols in dreams? Because, you know, like, it'll be like, oh, I don't know, I dreamt that my teeth fell out, so it means I'm coming into money, you know, things like that. Or is it different just because there are some symbols culturally that mean different things to different people?
Yeah.
So if I dream about a lion, that could mean pride for someone, that's fear in someone else. So do you take into account someone's culture or background as part of the sessions that you have with your clients?
I always consider.
Like everything?
It's everything. I must consider my clients. Again, alphabet, vocabulary, and dreamscapes. Like, they have their own. I'm there to say, this is what it's meant to me. Mm-hmm. Or in this context that you've shared in your dream, this is what I'm picking up. Does any of those things resonate? Mm-hmm. And I would tell even my clients or my students, saying, I'm not against you doing, like, looking it up online. The one thing that is going to be powerful is your intuition. That's always going to be the key to deciphering what is true and what is not, what is mine and what is yours, is to tap into that. And that's why even with a dream circle, my Dreamers Council group, we always start with grounding, centering, connecting the group so that we are always present in our highest power to be able to say, ooh, intuitively, this is what I'm getting. Oh my gosh, I don't know if that's mine, but that's what I would consider if this was my dream. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, there are going to be a lot of similarities, I think, around culture, about like what one thing means. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's those cross-cultural things can happen. Cross-culture, I actually encourage it. Don't just stay in your own lane. You can go and hop over to Islamic background, or, you know what I mean? African background, British, Celtic background. You can totally do any of those things, because it might be in your lineage, and it doesn't mean blood lineage. It could be in land lineage. It could be in lifetime lineage, you know? So I feel like it's unlimited.
That's a great response. Thank you for that. I'm like, that's exactly what I was like. I hope this is what she's going to say. Cause because I know you're not representing all dream interpreters, but I think it is important for our listeners just to know the depths, because some of us are like, I'm going to buy a dream book and it's going to tell me. Sometimes I'm like, but what about the specifics when something specifically happens to you that's not everyone has a dream about falling? And if they do, it doesn't necessarily mean this. So what do you do in those?
And it's the other thing. It's like, what else happened, though, in your dream?
Yeah. Right.
It's like you fell and then
and
what?
Then what?
Right. You know?
And the smallest things, I feel, can give you the most information. Mm-hmm. Like, even what you're wearing.
Yes. What you're wearing. Something, colors are a huge
even a song.
Thing.
Sometimes there's a song playing in your dream over and over and over again, which is interesting.
Sometimes recurring things. I always, like, there was a week where I would wake, I'm sure this has happened to so many other people, but my alarm would go off in my dream, and as it does, that's my alarm in real life. So it's like, I knew, you know what I mean? I'm always like, but
you're
again,
like,
I'm
half
like
asleep,
because other people have experienced that, so you know, I'm like, what does that mean?
Well,
what does that mean?
The one thing I will say is that I would encourage you not to dismiss it just because in waking life it's happening. Like, there's a reason why that synchronicity has happened.
Yeah, for sure. That, I guess now that I know that this is kind of your arena, I will definitely be hitting you up all the time.
Okay.
Are you on call? Speed dial. Like, a girl, this dream happened again. What does this mean?
Yes.
Well, let's work together. Hey,
come to a Dreamers Council meeting.
Yeah, tell us more about that, how that all works. Oh, you do that 22 teachings. It's, we've mentioned 22 teachings like a million times.
We love 22 teachings. The Hogwarts of LA.
That's how we met. Yeah, that's how
we met. At 22 teachings.
We bonded over. Yeah, it was such a beautiful night. But tell us more about how you got involved with 22 teachings and then about the Dream Council.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I was first a student of Naha Armadi's under her 22 teaching school, where it was actually with House of Intuition, and we just went independent at the beginning of this year. So the school's been around for a while. I know.
Congratulations.
Independent women.
We love boss babes.
Yes. But the way it came about was really interesting. I didn't have a job for like a year, so I couldn't. Well, there was a lot of things that happened in between there. But I was a student for a while. And then a tower in the tarot card, a tower experience happened in my life where I actually had to go through a breakup, move town, and way far. Like, I moved to, like, Westchester.
Oh, my God.
And so I couldn't head to this side of town to go to school. It was just like, okay, it was something that really did have to happen on my spiritual path. So then me and my boyfriend got back together and stronger than ever after that. And I didn't have a job for a while. So I was like, well, what am I going to do with myself? I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been unemployed, but
Oh my God.
LOL.
My entire life is unemployment.
Oh my God. We are actors.
Yeah, we're actors.
That's all I'm going to say. Well, we call it fun employment.
Yeah. Fun employment.
I actually did enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it too for a while, but then it was kind of like things.
So yeah. Well, I love working. So.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Yes.
Aries over here.
Oh my gosh. I love work. And I 10th house sun. I'm not like big on astrology, but what I've learned about myself with the 10th house sun is like career is important.
Yeah. Bay.
And legacy is important. Mm-hmm. So yes. I definitely hear that. And so I was unemployed for a while. And so when I was trying to look for a job, it was the most difficult thing, even though I had so much experience, which is also a hindrance, so I've learned. Mm-hmm. And so I had to say, okay, well, what is it that I really want to focus on? And so I started talking about my practice to myself, like, go back to come full circle. Like, why don't you just get creative? Actually, why don't you start focusing? Pretend like you got a bunch of clients. Like, make your client sheet.
This is what That's we call great. Manifesting. This is our manifesting
moment. This
is what
we talk about all the time.
All the time.
Act as if and as it shall if. Be.
Yes. Yes. And I would just go to a coffee shop every morning and just be on my laptop and be like, okay, well, what do you want your business to be like? And so I created three little columns of like, okay, crystals and herbs and health. Because I deal with some autoimmune issues. So it was like, okay, I want to bring that kind of stuff in. That was the beginning of the process. But as I was doing that and more regularly as I did that, my highest self said, I need you to reach out to Naha, actually, and see what you can reconnect. It may seem really ridiculous, but just reach out. And so I told myself, what am I going to lose? Like, what... I don't know. Let's just go ahead and send her an email and say, okay, I really want to get back into studying. I want to be a student, but I ain't got any money. Like, I've got, and I know that this is my life path. This is what I really want to do, and I will do anything. Can I volunteer? I can be your administrative assistant for free in exchange for being a student. All I cared about was to be back in that egregore, in that frequency, to be around the energy that I wanted to be a part of. How can I do that and offer myself? And so by doing that, we started a conversation, and I started out being a volunteer TA for her. And that's how the relationship started. I didn't get paid for that. I was just going, and I got to be able to do her developing intuition course. And that's where it stemmed from, where then I went back into corporate. I got a job for 1 month. I'm not going to say what company I worked for because it's well known.
It was
another affirmation of like, I am not about this corporate. I need to be doing my own thing.
Yeah.
We just had those moments we talked about on the podcast. Like, you try to do it again, but it's just sick. Nope.
And yeah. it was like being someone that's done their own healing and gone through like their Saturn return thing. It's like you could see, it's like almost like I live without the filter that most people live with. And I could see people, how they give themselves so much to this job and it's not giving them the same in return.
Yes,
right.
Yes, yes.
And so when I could see that in my community at work, now this job, it was like, okay, I don't know. Anyway, I ended up getting canned, which I count as a blessing.
Yeah.
Because then that got out of the way and Naha was able to take me on board as part of her team.
That's amazing.
Oh, amazing.
And so we then just ended up being teammates in a time where she was going through her own transition and went into creating the 22 Teachings Magical Academy independent thing.
Yeah.
So that's really the short story of like how that actually came about, and now I'm like part of this amazing team, and I love all of my teammates, and it's just amazing.
I'm so blessed.
I am just so blessed.
Yes.
I'm so happy. I'm happy to go there every day of my life. Yeah. It's just so, I got to meet you guys there.
I know. We've met really, so many beautiful people.
It's so great.
So how do we like sign up for your circle?
Oh right. So we were talking about that. Let me get to that. So the experience of the last few powerful series of dreams that I had with some animal totems, which was the spider, actually two large tarantulas, a wolf, and sea creatures falling from the sky.
Whoa.
All of that actually was the start of me facing my shadows as a child, where I wrote my article that I encourage you guys to read. You can read it on my website, on my blog, and
we'll
on 22
in the
Teachings.
Notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I actually able to revisit my childhood experiences where I was not, I was actually invisible with all of these dream experiences. And so in that, while I was having these dreams in waking life, all of these things were stirring up where I was like, oh my God, I have to work through this past stuff. Like, I can't believe it. But it also made me think, what was missing in my childhood that I don't have now still? And I discovered there that it was like, oh, a place for me to have a safe space to talk about it.
Mm.
So I felt like, well, if it's not in front of me, this community, that means I need to create it, mm-hmm. actually. I'm the one to step forward and say, create the space that you don't have.
Yeah.
And that's where Dreamers Council stemmed from, was like, okay, I need to get people like in touch with this because it's changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I want it so that they know they are their own dream interpreter or decoder. Like, you have the empowerment.
Yeah.
Empower you to be able to do it for you and the rest of the community. So the Dreamers Council is not me being like, oh, I'm the boss. I will give you tools and guidelines to do it as a group. But everyone in there is a dream interpreter. Like, it's all about us being that and
that
taking that power in.
And then for people who can't come to the studio and don't have access to you, is there anything like the average person can do besides, you mentioned meditating, like a dream journal, I'm assuming that's something important.
Dream journal is got to be, if you want to work with dreams, that is where you're supposed to start. That's where I will tell all of my students, you need to have a dream journal because it's a mind dump, number one. You're putting all of the stuff that you're constantly thinking about.
My journal's in bed like next to me. When I wake up, I'm like,
dump
chicken
it.
Scratch.
Because
what
I've discovered is that after I dump it, then I'm open to synchronicities from that experience.
Yes.
Waking life. Oh my gosh. Now it's like, as I'm walking down the street, I see a spider web. And then I realize, oh wait, I had a dream that I was in a spider web.
Yeah.
And I forgot to write it in my dream journal. So then it opens us up to synchronicities and more of like the processing of it. But also it's somewhere where you can go back and see synchronicities in a series of dreams, mm-hmm. things that you can work with. But I always encourage to write, not type digitally, because the hand to paper slows the mind down. And I consider it to be like a dream
processing.
Re-entry kind of a
in
process.
And digest it.
Yes.
For sure. Oh my God, this is so amazing.
I
thank
know.
You
oh
so
God.
Much for all. We have to have you back.
Yeah.
We'll have to have you back.
Well, you guys
for sure.
need to also
come
in
to
for
the
a
circle.
Dream
I know. I want to go.
She thinks it's not happening. What are you doing after this?
I know.
We could actually do it right now.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I think we're out of time this time, but definitely we're going to hit you up that offer. And obviously people can find you at 22 Teachings. Where else can they find you on social media? You personally?
Social media is come_full_circle. So come full circle. That's where you'll find me on IG. Facebook, I'm Vanessa Baltadano, private, but I have a Come Full Circle page that's attached to that that is public that you guys can follow as well. Okay. My website, comefullcirclehealing.com, is something so you guys can see what my services are and check out my biography. Yes.
Perfect. And we'll put it all in the show notes too. But I wanted you to have your moment to show. And then we are, of course, at Diva with Grace podcast. And thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Till next time.
Bye, guys.